Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. It's week 9. It's a Handicapping Tuesday coming to your inbox on Wednesday. I am Scott Pianowski, and we'll be joined by my co-host and my good friend, Yahoo Sports Daily's Frank Schwab, in just a moment. Just a reminder that all the lines that we talk about today are courtesy of our friends at BetMGM. If you haven't signed up there, they have a great deal for new users. You can create a BetMGM account, place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. If that bet loses, you get your bet amount up to $1,000 added back to your account in free bets. Must be 21 years of age or older in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, the great state of Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, or Wyoming only. Terms do apply. Go to betmgm.com/yahoo to get started, or use the promo code Yahoo when making your first deposit. Without further ado, handicapper to the stars, Jonathan Taylor Wonk, Mr. Frank Schwab, aloha.
By the way, that Jonathan Taylor prop hits in overtime last
week.
Yes,
it does.
It was, I mean, sometimes just you need to get lucky. You need to get lucky. By the way, one real quick thing, Scott. Next year, if you could text me to remind me to never, ever get excited for the NFL trade deadline ever again. Just nothing. I wrote stories about it. I thought about, oh, this guy, that guy. Nothing. Just another deadline, trade deadline, and the flatline trade deadline, I meant to say.
Yeah, flatline. NFL trade flatline is a good phrase for it.
Or, I don't get it, Scott. Let me, like, really, truly, like, I know the Rams are on the other extreme, right? But why do these teams hold on to, like, sixth-round picks like they're clutching pearls? Like, you telling me, like, the Packers couldn't make one move? Like, they could. There's not one move they could have made. It's not one move the Chiefs, I know, the Chiefs traded for, like, a third-string tight end. They're not one big move the Chiefs really could have made. Like, something had to happen at this trading deadline, and I'm just really – it just shocks me how inactive the NFL teams are compared to the other sports, basically.
And what I really don't understand is, I think – particularly this season, there's a lot of striation where there's some awful teams that have players, contracts that they'd like to move, get some draft capital. The Jaguars are not going anywhere. The Jets are not going anywhere. Why not? Or teams like a team like, say, the Broncos, where they drafted their next featured back. I know Melvin Gordon still has some tread on the tires. There are teams that need a running back. You're telling me you can't find a deal that makes sense? And the Broncos really fancy themselves making a deep playoff run centered around Melvin Gordon. I don't understand it. The Texans, they did trade one of their running backs last week in Ingram back to the Saints, but I think they could have anything anybody wanted on Houston. I get why the Watson trade didn't happen. There's a lot of reasons why that couldn't happen right now, or didn't make a lot of sense, but anything else on that roster I would think would be open season. And as you look, we've seen, you said the Packers, right? I mean, they just seem so stubborn. Of other than giving Randall Cobb to Aaron Rodgers, it just seems like they just don't want to do anything that will ever make their quarterback happy. And of course, Cobb did have 2 touchdown catches last week, but I'll never understand it, Frank. Yeah.
Especially with common sense, common sense does not win today. Especially running backs, Scott. It's like they should treat every NFL team, smart NFL teams, should treat running backs like the Oakland A's treat closers, where we'll pump a guy up, we'll get him some saves, we'll trade him at the trade deadline for far more than he's worth, because he's just not as valuable as everybody thinks. And the same with running backs. Like you talked about Melvin Gordon, I think that's a great example. Denver's 4-4. They should feel like, hey, a couple things go right, maybe we can stay in the playoff race. That's great. Melvin Gordon doesn't matter to that. We saw Derek Gore. I had to Google it. I was like, who is this guy? I have no idea who Derek Gore is. And Derek Gore looked great on Monday night. You telling me, if you trade Melvin Gordon for whatever you're going to trade him for, it's probably a late round pick, and you just take somebody off somebody's practice squad, go find somebody on your own practice squad, you're telling me you can't get reasonably comparable production? Nothing against Melvin Gordon, you know, on Wisconsin, but I just don't get it. I don't get why these teams, why the bad teams didn't trade, why the good teams weren't trading either. It was just a weird trade deadline.
And also, with the sounding of the trade deadline, that means you're now free to, if you were waiting to drop Allen Robinson in fantasy, he has not been traded. He is still a member of the Chicago Bears. We'll play Monday night at Pittsburgh and then not play next week. I think it's as good a time as any, as much as I like Allen Robinson, to maybe say goodbye. We will not talk about the Lions, the Seahawks, the Buccaneers, or the football team this week. They're your week 9 bye. It's kind of a sneaky fantasy bye week. There's a lot of players I need that are not going to be in uniform, or, you know, offenses I wanted to gang up on Detroit maybe. So we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to give you an extensive analysis of the Jets trading tight end Dan Brown, or, you know, Melvin Ingram went to Kansas City, right? couple other small pieces. Niners picked up a secondary piece, but I'm sure Frank's working on a 2,500 word Leviathan and you to break this all down. But we're here for handicapping. We're here to cash some tickets. And before we get into the slate, last week I did a little Canisius Corner just to give you, you know, we want to give you not just the fish, we want to teach you how to fish. And I want to give out a piece of fantasy advice or handicapping advice because I see the converse of this being floated around. Last week on a well-known gambling podcast, somebody was talking about the idea of betting the Bengals on the money line and laying minus 500. Now, and obviously the Bengals lost. It's easy to pick on it now. But Frank and I texted about this before the game. And I was told a long time ago, unless you're betting on like a fixed boxing match, never bet a lot of money. Never risk a lot of money to win a little bit of money. And that's my little gambling nugget for today. Bad idea. Again, even the fixed fight in Pulp Fiction didn't go the way they thought it was going to go. So don't bet a lot of money to win a little bit of money. And I feel bad for anybody who maybe might have taken the Bengals on the money line, because what probably happened after that game came in and you lose the way you did. Maybe you chased with the favorites later in the day, right? Maybe you thought, okay, well, I'll chase with the Chargers, or I'll chase with the Buccaneers, or the Cowboys don't have their quarterback. Minnesota's a lock. And next thing you know, you've lost like whatever you built up the past 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, that can really send you down a bad spiral. So don't bet a lot to win a little. That's my tip for today.
I've never seen it really work out, because what's the upside? Like, okay, you're going to bet however much. $50 win 10. Yeah, I mean, it's okay. Like, it just doesn't, especially in the NFL. I mean, I guess maybe in other sports, like college football, it makes a little, don't do it. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to go down there. Don't do it in college football either. But really in the NFL, which is just this week to week, whoever knows what's going to happen type of league, there's no locks. That's why survivor pools are so fun, because teams get knocked out constantly that should win, quote unquote. And even in this year where we didn't have an upset for a long time, you knew they were coming eventually. I got knocked out of one of my pools with the Bengals, almost got knocked out of all my pools with the Chiefs. Those are my remaining picks last night. So yeah, don't do it. Don't take these huge money line favorites. And I have one for you too, because it just feels right to say this week. And this, I didn't follow this advice last week. I was on the wrong side of a lot of these games. Just because you see a team lost its quarterback or a key player, don't automatically think that they're dead money. These teams, look, we see this time and time again where, first of all, the line changes dramatically. We saw that with the Packers not having Devontae Adams, with the Cowboys, like you said, not having Dak. So you're already getting some value, like you're getting extra points, obviously. But NFL teams, when they lose their quarterback or lose any key player, almost, if it's a good team, well coached, or not like some 1-12 team in December, they rally around it. You could get that 1 week bump where they play really, really well around that backup quarterback. And we saw this over and over again on Sunday. It was the week of the backup quarterbacks, whether it was Trevor Siemian coming in off the bench, maybe a live bet the Buccaneers at that point, whether it was Geno, you know, I mean, you were only having to give 3.5 against a terrible, terrible, terrible Jaguars team. You should have been on that. Or the Cooper Rush game where you saw everybody play well around the quarterback, or the Packers who had a lot of guys out. I thought everybody stepped up, and that was really a team win. So that's why the one thing I didn't follow last week, and I got to keep in mind, I got to kind of almost remind myself today, just because you see a team, you know, just because their quarterback's out or some key player, hey, don't think they're drawn dead, because it's the NFL and you're going to see a 1 week bump a lot of times.
Yeah, and then there's so many talented players we just don't know a lot about either. Mm-hmm. That sometimes Mike just
White.
Need a chance.
Mike White. I was on here last week.
Glad you brought up Mike White.
Look, hey, real quick. I was on here last week saying the Jets can't score 10 points. So I fell for it too. Like, it happens, but don't go down that rabbit hole too often.
Well, let's talk some more, Mike White, as we'll start, as we always do, with the primetime island games and the sizzling Jets. The only two wins this year, but they've been over the Titans and then last week against the Bengals. So they've beaten two decent AFC teams. Now they're going to try to do it to the Colts. They'll try to do it on the road. The game's at Indianapolis on Thursday. It's a 10.5-point spread, a 46.5 total. You know, Frank, handicapping, fantasy, it comes down to good decisions. And with the Colts, I see two constantly bad decisions with this team. One, they won't use Jonathan Taylor as much as I think they should. And then Carson Wentz was a walking bad decision. Now, I know that the left-handed pass is maybe the play everybody gravitates towards, because it's a really juicy, you know, video clip, right? But you and your weekly power ratings, you focused on the last Wentz interception, the overtime interception, where Jonathan Taylor is wide freaking open. He's going to get 20 or 30 yards, I think, right on this catch. Yeah. It's right in front of Wentz. And he said, no, you know, I'll throw it into coverage and throw a pick and lose the game. Bad decision. I don't know why they don't use Taylor more. Not that they don't use him, but I think he should be getting – I mean, the fact that we had needed overtime to win our prop last week, and some people who bet that prop late would have lost. Another tip, by the way, you got to shop around for these props, and if you like a prop, try to get in on it early, because that line really moved during the week.
Sure did.
So that's certainly something else to consider. I just wish the Colts would make better decisions. I'm leaning towards the Jets here, and I don't think the Jets are a good team. I think they got lucky last week. I think that could have been just kind of a one-time isolated thing, but nothing about the Colts makes me want to spot this big of a number.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. I just talked about that one-week bump you get. It's usually just 1 week. You can't keep that up week after week. So could we see a bit of a letdown from the Jets here? Yes, but I do think it's too many points. I don't really feel comfortable laying 10.5 with the Colts right now. Carson Wentz has basically turned into Tampa Bay Jameis, where everybody talked about Jameis like he was just some bum and he was a slappy. But he just threw too many interceptions. He was actually a pretty good player. Like, I know you can't say this, but if you take out the bad plays, he was actually pretty good. He threw for 5,000 yards. And you could see what Carson Wentz were. He'll make some good plays. And you're like, wow, okay, Carson Wentz is playing pretty well. And then he just makes these mind-numbing turnovers. And you're like, what are you doing? What on earth are you doing? And like you said, that the interception was just the one that was the pick six, the left-handed one, was just mind-blowing. I mean, what are you even doing at that point? But I thought, just if you talk about how a quarterback plays down to down, I thought the one in overtime was even worse, because it was just it's first down. You're just throwing into tight coverage. There's really no way you're going to squeeze that ball in there. Kevin Byard's a really, really good safety for the Titans. When you have Jonathan Taylor literally 5 yards in front of you and he's going to turn around and run for 20, I think I'm to the point. I just have to give up on Carson Wentz. It's too hard to bet the Colts. They're really good around him. And Carson Wentz has his moments, but he also has those plays where you're just like, I can't do it anymore, Carson. I can't. I just can't back you. And I got the same way with Jameis, where I was like, you know, I had him on a lot of fantasy teams that last year in Tampa Bay because he was just throwing for a ton of yards and a ton of touchdowns. But you, betting wise, no, you just can't, because you don't want a quarterback who's just going to throw you out of games like that.
That was a fun Jameis year. The 30 and that season ended on a pick six for his 30th interception. They should do a documentary on that. The 30 for 30 Jameis. But you know, Wentz also, when he's not throwing interceptions, he's throwing his receivers into peril. I mean, he's throwing hospital balls out there. It's really hard to watch. I thought he got away with some loose throws in the win over San Francisco. And yeah, there is still a playmaker element to Wentz, and he's done some good things, but I'm not going to spot the big number. And look, when you take a big dog, you know, you may tune in Thursday night. It might be 38-0 Rams. I'm sorry, 38-0 Colts. That's in the range of outcomes. So I accept that. That's the life you choose when you play underdogs. By the way, I think 8 underdogs won outright last week.
Yeah,
so it was
it was actually 9. But yeah, I mean,
was it 9? Okay.
Another week where road teams and underdogs, like it's just a thing now.
So we talked about injuries and line movement and all that stuff. Well, Derrick Henry out indefinitely. I think he's probably going to miss the rest of the regular season, if not the entire season. So the surging Titans, after all those big wins that they've put together, now they take on the NFC favorite Rams on Sunday night. LA is the home team. They're spotting 7.5. If you want to bet the total over at BetMGM, it's 53.5. This is a tricky one. We know that line movement generally is tied to quarterbacks. I don't know what this line would have been if Henry was active. Obviously, they don't have a great backup for him. They've added Adrian Peterson. They can try to replace him from within, but there's nothing special in this backfield. Do you think the Titans can hang without Henry at LA?
I don't know, but I'm going to find out. I'll be on the Titans here. I just think the line move was just too much. I think that nothing against Derrick Henry. He's probably my favorite player in the league right now. He's unbelievably fun to watch. He's a unicorn. We know how good he is. We know how valuable he is. But again, just what I talked about. Oh, Derrick Henry's gone. The Titans are done. They're dust. They're never going to do anything. I don't really know that that's the truth, especially with a running back. Can they patch it together? Jeremy McNichols, whatever they're going to – Adrian Peterson, my goodness. I don't know how that's going to work. But can they patch it together for at least 1 week to keep a game close against the Rams? I do think so. I think that this is just screaming value on the Titans based on the overreaction of the Henry injury. Henry's great. Don't get me wrong, but – I'll take, you know, this is still a Rams team that almost lost to the Lions 2 weeks ago. The Titans have been playing pretty good ball, and it's not all Derrick Henry doing that. I'll take the Titans here, and I actually feel pretty good about it. Like you just said, I could look up and, you know, oh wow, the Titans offense can't move anywhere because, yeah, Derrick Henry's that valuable and they're down 21 zip. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think that the Titans can stay in this game and keep within a touchdown.
And Henry, you know, was pretty muted the last 2 weeks. I don't know exactly when the injury happened against the Colts, but he did not go over 100 yards. It was
pretty early. I remember seeing him. Okay. They were looking at him, and you're like, and then he comes back in the game. You're like, oh, okay, he's fine. And then he played like three quarters on a broken foot. Yeah.
It shows you how tough these guys are. Right. It's unbelievable. But he didn't go over 100 yards against the Chiefs defense that nobody feels good about. The encouraging thing with Tennessee is that for years they've asked A.J. Brown to make do with 5 to 7 targets, and they finally bumped that up. They finally moved that, modulated that to where it should be. I still think he should maybe get double-digit targets off the bus. Don't know what Julio Jones' status will be. He's probably going to be week-to-week for the rest of the season. But A.J. Brown finally starting to dominate the market share in Tennessee like he should have been all along.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it was almost criminal. I was bummed out a little bit that they traded for Julio because I was like, I wanted to see the 180 target A.J. Brown year. Well, we might get it anyway because Julio basically can't stay on the field.
So I'm with you. I'll be grabbing the points with the Titans. The other primetime game is Chicago. Justin Fields finally showing some signs of life. They head into Pittsburgh where the Steelers are 6.5 favorites at BetMGM. Very low total of 40. What are you seeing on Monday night?
Yeah, and I get any reason why somebody would take the Steelers. The Bears, I mean, it's tough to take them, especially, you know, we don't know if Khalil Mack's going to be back. And this is not really a good football team. But I still don't trust the Steelers. I was on them last week. They won the game. I mean, after the Chris Boswell debacle where they get their kicker hurt and now you got to go for it and can't kick any field goals the rest of the game, they still won that game. They did play pretty well, but I'm not ready to lay 6.5 with them. I just think this offense is too limited for that. But the games they win are going to be just like last week where it's 15-10. And I could see that game kind of manifesting itself this Monday night too, where it's just going to be 17-13 or whatever it's going to be. I actually thought Fields did make strides last week. That I talked about with Charles on Sunday night, where that fourth down touchdown run he had was just, you're not going to make that play unless you're confident. And he looked really confident in making everybody miss, running up and down the field, getting in the end zone somehow. And I think that he's finally feeling a little bit better about himself and how he's playing. I think the Bears are going to put up a ton of points. They're not a good team. But I almost got to take them by default because I'm not ready to do -6.5 with the Steelers.
For the first time, it looked like the Bears had a playbook that asked itself, okay, what is Fields good at? Mm-hmm. You know, how can we set him up to succeed? And, you know, I don't mean to kick Matt Nagy when he's down, but, you know, Matt Nagy was unavailable last week because of COVID. And it looked like the offense was, I don't know, just seemed like their plan made a lot more sense. It's easy to say when Fields makes a few plays. He didn't play perfectly. He took 4 sacks. They didn't move the ball that well at the end of that game. But it's just nice to see some positive strides there. With the Steelers, as much as I love Mike Tomlin, I think he's just one of the best coaches in the NFL. I mean, I think there's something presidential about Tomlin. The way he commands the room, the way he handles the media, the way he owns the situation. I think of the Pittsburgh Steelers as a great team to bet on when they're undervalued, when they're counted out, when they're underdogs. And we've seen so many times when they're favorites, and especially like around a touchdown, 6.5 in the spot, they play down to the level of competition. That's just been a Pittsburgh yarn for so many years. And I just think this is a game where it's going to be like, what are the Steelers doing? Why is this game still closed? Put Chicago away.
Right.
So I could only be on the Bears in this spot.
Let me ask you something real quick before we move on. I mean, this is kind of teaser territory, right? 6.5. And it's also, if you're really feeling lucky, it could be a survival pick. If you're still alive, you didn't have the Bengals last week. How do you feel about teasing the Steelers? Because honestly, I don't feel comfortable with it. I don't think I'm going to do it.
Because I don't trust Roethlisberger. Simple as that. I'm afraid he's going to make loose throws. And, you know, all the things he doesn't want to do, right? Doesn't want to be in shotgun. Doesn't want to have pre-snap motion. Doesn't want the ultimate cheat code in the NFL, which is play action. I do like the connection he showed with Freeman. What a great touchdown catch he had in the Cleveland game too. But it's just, Pittsburgh, not that the Bears are coming in and going to light the world on fire. I mean, the Bears haven't had a 4,000-yard passer, for crying out loud, in their history. But Pittsburgh's so hard to watch on offense. They're just saying, okay, Najee Harris, try to beat the opponent 3.5 yards at a time. That's what they're trying to do right now. And every once in a while, they throw a pass to Deontay. Johnson is terrific, and Claypool's good, and I like their rookie tight end. But Roethlisberger, maybe he should have retired a year or two ago. I think Pittsburgh needed a succession plan. They don't have one right now. It's hard to watch a team, again, very well coached, great infrastructure, great defense. You talked about how important it was to get TJ Watt back, and he was just destructive in that whole Cleveland game. And, man, they sure loved a big brother, the Browns, don't they? Just to remind you, isn't Roethlisberger the winningest quarterback in that stadium since they reopened it? Now, I mean, yeah. It's, you know, they opened it, which is a crazy stat, right? But don't bet the Steelers. They're not a reliable favorite. I can't do it. I can't advocate it either. And I don't want anybody listening to this to do it either. So you can tell me you think it's wrong, by the way. I'm sure Pittsburgh Nation will tag this and jump all over me. Just tell me before the game. Don't tell me after the game. Tell me before the game you think it's wrong. And with that, so what do we do with the Browns and Bengals? Both teams kind of showed us their bad side last week. Cleveland did not play well against Pittsburgh. And obviously Cincinnati had the signature game of the week where they lost somehow to the Jets. So it's a straight three. The Bengals are at home spotting the three to Cleveland. The total is 46.5. And, man, I don't really know what side I want to be on. I guess I lean towards giving the Bengals a pass. Uh-huh. I think there's maybe more things about Cincinnati that I like than Cleveland. I mean, we know Mayfield's playing hurt. We know OBJ goes together with Mayfield like oil and water. If anybody would have taken that contract, I'm sure the Browns would have loved to be done with it. I don't even think they could. I think if they waived Beckham, nobody would take the contract. I think that's what it's gotten to. So I probably lean Cincinnati, but both teams haven't played well last week. It's just hard to know what to do.
I actually feel pretty strongly about this one. I'll be on the Bengals. And, you know, I mean, if you know betting, you've probably heard of the zigzag theory, right? Sure. It's a playoff series type of deal in the NBA or NHL where if one team wins game one, just go with the next team in game two and just keep going back and forth. And I feel like that's why I'm leaning with the Bengals here, because 2 weeks ago, they lit the world on fire. I mean, they looked like one of the NFL's better teams when they beat the Ravens. And then I didn't, you know, I should have listened to myself, because I said this on a couple of our podcasts last week, that there might be a letdown for the Bengals. And boy, was there ever. Like, for them to lose to the Jets was just awful. But to me, that's a young team that can't handle prosperity yet. They let down and they just took it too far. They can't lose to the Jets no matter what. And so I give them a pass. I just kind of say, all right, if nobody's as good as they looked last week or as bad as they looked last week, so what do we make of the Bengals? I still believe in this team. Maybe the Browns come in, beat them, and I'll change my mind on Cincinnati a little bit. But I almost look at this as a zigzag game where it's like, good Bengals, bad Bengals, we're going to get good Bengals this week. And I just, as weird as it is to say, I just think the Bengals are the better team right now. I think that their defense is underrated and had a really, really bad week. Their offense can score. I think that let's say the Bengals go into the Jets and win by 10 last week in kind of one of those boring games you're never going to remember. I think this line would be 4.5. I think you're getting a little bit of a discount because the Bengals lost to the Jets, which I get, trust me. But if you give them a pass, then the -3 looks like value, and it sure does to me. I'll be on the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals had a double-digit lead late in that game. You know, they just didn't close it out. There was obviously a really controversial call. I agree with you that I like to fade outlier results to the good or to the bad, which would have had you off the Bengals last week and maybe gets you back to them this week. The one thing I wish were different is, you know, I love to bet on a team I believe in after it's been embarrassed. And the Bengals are a team I guess to some degree I believe in. I just wish it wasn't Zach Taylor's Bengals. If this were Bill Belichick's Bengals, if this were Mike Tomlin's Bengals, if this were
John Harbaugh,
Sean Payton's Bengals, right?
Sean Payton's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, one of those coaches, you know. Greg Popovich's Bengals. You know, I'd love to come back to them. You know, Steve Kerr's Bengals. I'd love to come back to them after being embarrassed. I just don't know if Zach Taylor's a good coach or not. And before the season, I would have said absolutely not. The Bengals have been frisky. You know, Burrow's had a nice season. You know, Chase already has the Rookie of the Year trophy probably on his mantle. It's an easy story to rally around. And the defense, I thought the thing that shocked me about them losing is the defense playing as poorly as it did. Because I thought this was a top 10 defense, right, for
agreed,
sure.
Agreed,
yeah. And maybe a top 5 defense. And then Mike White just riddled them and went up and down the field against them with impunity. And I just didn't think that was possible. But I agree with you that, look, let's zig, let's zag, let's fade the outlier performances. That there are just going to be some results that don't make a lot of sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense that the Jets also beat the Titans, who have been smashing everybody since then, right? I mean, beating teams, you know, we all respect the Ravens. You know, we all, to some degree, have to have some respect for the Chiefs. They beat a good Colts team in Indianapolis, or at least a reasonable Colts team. Although Wentz had a big say in that. I mean, the Titans losing to the Jets doesn't make sense. The Packers losing to the Saints to the degree that they did on opening day doesn't make sense. How did Pittsburgh ever beat Buffalo? There's just going to be some games like that, and we just have to shrug and move on, and a lot of times discount those results.
Yeah, and I agree with that. It's the NFL. You're going to see some really weird stuff happen, and you just kind of have to – it's the tough math of the NFL where you say, all right, were the Bengals exposed last week? Were they, what's kind of the outlier? Like you said, something's got to be the outlier here. Was it them just beating the heck out of the Ravens? And or was it them losing to the Jets? What do you throw out? You got to throw out one of these, right? And I'm willing to, because they had played fairly well in other games, beat a Vikings team I don't think is dead necessarily. I think they're okay. The Bengals have played fairly good football this season. They're back at home, and it is a big game for them. Biggest game probably in a few years, just because it's that in-state rivalry. I'll throw out the loss to the Jets, and maybe it burns me, but I'm willing to find out.
So it's hard to know after a team, you know, stubs its toe to know what to do the next week sometimes. And the Cardinals, man, they did not play well against Green Bay. I know they had a chance late, and obviously Murray threw the pick in the end zone, but I thought Murray looked really shaky that whole game. You wonder how hurt he's playing. They go to San Francisco now, who's another Jekyll Hyde. I mean, look, Arizona's been good most of the season. San Francisco's been very frustrating. They've been up, they've been down. They played very poorly, I thought, against the Colts. They played a reasonably good game at Chicago, but what does beating the Bears really mean? The 49ers right now are -1 over at BetMGM. The total is 45. I'm having a lot of trouble with this one. I don't have a strong lean right now, so I'm just going to throw it to you and see what you say.
I mean, it all depends on Kyler Murray. You know, he's day-to-day with this ankle sprain. Colt McCoy's behind him, I believe. And if you believe, like, there's a lot of things you got to unpack here because, again, just because Murray's out doesn't mean necessarily that the Cardinals are dead. Like, they're going to rally around Colt McCoy. They're going to play good football. But Kyler is a special kind of quarterback where he just makes things happen where nobody else can. Colt McCoy ain't making the plays Kyler Murray can. We know that. Like, he's just not that guy. So I do think I hate to fall in this trap again of, hey, if it's a backup quarterback, I feel like I'm on the right side. But I'll be on the 49ers. I haven't given up on them being a good team. They had a nice win last week. The Cardinals are a very good team. And everything they've done is legit. But I think if there's two ways this can go, and it was almost like the Browns last week, and one of the reasons I was on the Steelers, is there's two options for the Cardinals here. Either you don't have Kyler Murray or you're going to have Kyler Murray playing at less than 100%. And which of those is even the better option? We saw last year, Kyler, he's never missed a start. Very tough dude. But he tried to play through injury last year and it did not work out well. It was a different Cardinals team. So I think that there's been a huge line move in this. It's moved a ton toward the 49ers. And I think it's justified. I think that Kyler Murray's one of those guys where I just say they can't replicate what he does. And I think that this was kind of a lying in the weeds game for the 49ers anyway, where they could have ambushed the Cardinals coming off a tough loss. I think that, again, I haven't given up on the 49ers being a good team this year. I'll be on the 49ers. Maybe Kyler shows up and plays out of his mind, or Colts rally around Colt McCoy, whatever's going to happen. But I think the 49ers I'll end up on them and see what happens.
Yeah, I think maybe you talked me into San Francisco. You know, I know they had a lot of trouble with Jonathan Taylor 2 weeks ago, but this is a good defense. Maybe Taylor's just one of those special talent. I mean, Taylor might be the best running back in fantasy right now with Henry hurt. They did a really good job on Khalil Herbert, who had been running on everybody last week. And it sounds like they might get Kittle back. And not only is George Kittle a terrific receiver and terrific fantasy player, but he's such a great blocker. He's such an infectious player, just an all out, you know, just the way he plays. I think just getting him back in uniform, even if he was just used as a lineman and you only targeted him a couple of times, will help their power running game. Elijah Mitchell's on a nice run right now. The season Deebo Samuel's having, he's unbelievable. I think he's caught 15 of his 18 longest targeted passes this year, I want to say was the tweet I saw. I mean, he's playing at a ridiculously high level when the quarterback play has just been so-so. So I think you've talked me into the 49ers. You know, when the Chargers, as I pivot to the next game, when they beat Kansas City, I was ready to get a parade route for them winning the division. They're going to go deep in the AFC, and let's spit all these props and let's be early on the Chargers. We were actually in on them before they beat Kansas City. And since then, you know, Brandon Staley, favorite for Coach of the Year. And since then, they've done everything to make me discount them. They had a horrible loss before their bye to a good Baltimore team. And the Patriots just basically pants them. Belichick is 2-0 against Justin Herbert now. And the game didn't seem fluky at all. Now they go to an Eagles team. I thought the Eagles were going to lose Detroit last week. Spoiler, the Eagles did not lose to Detroit. No. They had the make Miles Sanders fantasy managers angry game where they decide for once to actually commit to the run. And they ran like a 1970s Big 8 team, right? They ran like 78 running plays, it felt like, at Detroit. Slight exaggeration. So this is a tough one for me because I'm waiting for the Chargers. What happened to the Charger team I fell in love with? They're a 1.5-point favorite on the road. At Philly, the total is 50.5. Can I get my Chargers back? What happened to this team I thought was great a month ago?
Yeah, and I think a big deal to them is Mike Williams. He has four catches for like 46 yards the last 2 weeks. He was hurt. Dominant. He had been banged up going into that Ravens game. That's worrisome. If you got Mike Williams in fantasy like I do, of like, we need him to come back. Is it going to? I got to be on the Chargers here for, I mean, and it's two-pronged. I haven't given up on the Chargers being a good team. I'm being stubborn. I'm always stubborn on the Chargers. It's just the Chargers have this control over me that I just have to bet them every single game, every single year. But the other side is, I don't think Eagles are good. I just don't. I know they beat the heck out of the Lions, but what does that even mean? They're a mediocre football team. Home field means nothing, so I'm not even giving much for that. I just think the Chargers are the better team. And if the Chargers lose this, then it's time to be like, what? Maybe the Chiefs end up winning this division at 9-8. It would be terribly disappointing if the Chargers lost this game, and I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to go and win.
Yeah, maybe Justin Herbert he hasn't solved Belichick, but he's still somebody I feel really good about. We've said all season that Jalen Hurts is the biggest gap between fantasy value and real life value. I don't think the Eagles are sold on him past this season. I still would buy Brandon Staley stock. I would not buy Nick Sirianni stock. So I guess I'm going to probably lean to the Chargers to get a bounce back effort here. You know, speaking of coaches, I was a big Mike Zimmer fan not that long ago, and starting to wonder what his long. Now he has fixed the defense in Minnesota, but it seems like how many times do we have to see them come up small in a primetime spot? That's also a Kirk Cousins problem. This week, Minnesota goes. So they really did not acquit themselves well against the Dallas team without starting quarterback on Sunday night. This week, they go to Baltimore, fresh off their bye week. The Ravens are 5.5-point favorites, which seems kind of high. Total is 49.5. What's your lean on Minnesota, Baltimore?
Yeah, and I think you said it well. It seems kind of high, and that's why I'll end up on the Vikings. Let's talk about the Ravens for a second. We know that other than the Chargers game, where they just matched up well, the Chargers can't stop the run. That is the one fatal flaw of the Chargers. That is clear now. Aside from that game, the Ravens have either lost or been on the high wire in every single other game. And so all of a sudden I'm going to lay 5.5 against a Vikings team that, yeah, they had a very, very bad loss on Sunday night. Look, when the Cowboys are like, we're just going to concede this week, take the win, we're going to sit Dak, we don't want to get them hurt, and they end up winning anyway with Cooper Rush, you really have to look at yourself in the mirror at that point and say, who are we as a team? But this Vikings team has been, I mean, they should have beat the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona. They should have beat the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati. There's time and again, they've just had these bad, bad losses, and that doesn't excuse them. I mean, there's something in your DNA when you're losing like that every single week, but I still think they have the talent to, let's say, at least keep this close. I don't know that I can just sit here and say, yeah, oh yeah, the Ravens are going to blow them out, because they're not blowing anybody out except the Chargers, and the Vikings aren't getting blown out. So I don't see why this line should be 5.5.
It feels like the loosest Baltimore defense we've seen in a while, too. I know Minnesota didn't do a lot on offense against Dallas, but I would think that there's a path. I mean, they got to get their playmakers going. You know, they got to get Cook going and Jefferson going, because they were both relatively ineffective. I don't know why they haven't thrown the ball to Cook a lot this year, but I think that's something they need to get back into their offense. But they still have good playmakers, and I think there's just too many points. I'm going to be on the Vikings. So Denver, Von Miller's gone. I guess they want to keep their running backs the way they are. You know, I look at all the skill talent there, and I wonder why they score 17 points a week. It's frustrating. And in NFL, where it's so easy to play offense, but they're going to need to play some offense this week because they're up against the smoking Cowboys, who I believe I've covered every week. They've become the darlings of the betting public, and now they're paying the tax. Dallas is spotting 10 to Denver at home. Total is 49.5. Man, I love the Cowboys as much as anybody. I think Kellen Moore's going places. The infrastructure of that team was hurt from last week when they didn't have Dak, and they still beat a decent Minnesota team. But now you're paying the line tax. Is 10 points too many against Denver?
Yeah, I think I got to go Denver here. I think that, look, no trend lasts forever in the NFL. And I don't think the Cowboys are going to 1972 Dolphins this thing against a spread. I don't think that they're going to run the table. They're going to strip up with one of these big spreads. And I think people might have looked at this, and I'm based in Denver, so I heard a lot of this from upset Broncos fans of, oh, they're selling, they're giving up. I think that the Rams just came to them with a deal that the Broncos were like, we can't turn this down. We just can't. Like, Von Miller might not even be healthy the rest of the year. He's a free agent after the year, and you're going to give us a 2 and a 3. Hey, Von, we'll see you in a few years when you're going into our ring of fame. Okay, great run with you. Thank you. We can't pass up this trade. I think that that's all that was for the Broncos. I still think that they have hope anyway that at 4-4 they can still push and maybe get the 7 seed, whatever that means. I think this Broncos team is, it's not good by any means, but 10 points, I got to do it, because one of these weeks the Cowboys aren't going to cover a spread. And it's almost like you hate, because I'm just like you, I think the Cowboys are good. I've come around completely to them, but I think that this is just in this spot, minus 10, a little too much for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's probably too many points. Yeah, I'm glad the next two games are paired next to each other, because I think what Belichick's doing in New England and what Peyton's doing in New Orleans mirror each other, right? Because the talent level in New England and New Orleans is not what we're accustomed to. Saints have all sorts of problems at quarterback. The Patriots don't have the same personnel they've had. Obviously, they're bringing in a rookie quarterback. They're both coming off really impressive wins, and now they're paying a lot of freight in the spread as a result. We'll start with the Patriots at Panthers. New England's a 3.5-point favorite on the road. So they're basically saying this line would be like the 9, 9.5 range if this game was at New England. Total is just 41.5. Look, Belichick does this so commonly, right? His teams get better as the season goes along, and he figures out what he has, what he doesn't have. He coaches up the talent on the roster. But, I mean, can you give this many points to a Panthers team that is not, I don't think, a doormat?
I don't know, because it just seems like, of all the people, Bill Belichick's going to find a way to turn Sam Darnold over like 5 times. Like, I mean, it's right. Like
we've seen it. You're sure.
Yeah.
Ghost game, right?
Yeah. Sam Darnold is just, I don't know what, you know, who's, what deal he made with the devil those first couple of weeks, but it is gone. He's just not the guy. And I will say this, like last week I was on here and I mistakenly forgot that Christian McCaffrey had one more week on IR. Well, he's off IR this week. I have researched this, and Christian McCaffrey is expected to play on Sunday. And look, it's weird to be like this about a running back, but he just makes all the difference in the world to them. He's that good of a player. And you've seen the offense be pretty much turnover free without him and move up and down the field and look like a good football team, because McCaffrey's that good when he's healthy. Assuming McCaffrey plays, I don't know. I'll probably go back and forth on this. I'm leaning Patriots right now. I might be talked into Panthers by the end of the week. It's one of those games where I don't have a real strong opinion on this. I do think that the Panthers are going to look better with McCaffrey, but what does that really mean? And especially against a Belichick defense that you know is going to pick apart whatever Sam Darnold does wrong.
A couple of things here. One of the weaknesses to a good Patriot defense is they have struggled to contain pass-catching running backs. And if McCaffrey plays, they're facing just about as good as a pass-catching running back as there is in the league. So that could be a problem. I wonder if the Panthers are smart enough to realize they have to unplug Darnold. Okay. By the way, did you notice, I tweeted this very late last night, Sam Darnold somehow was PFF's number one graded quarterback last week. And I know that Darnold ran for like 66 yards, and that has a value.
Like,
I don't know how this is
number
possible.
One in that game? You're not talking about the whole NFL. You couldn't be. No way.
Well, that's what the tweet said. And wow. And then some people were saying, no, he played better. His receivers let him down and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't know if Sam Darnold has broken into PFF headquarters and you know, hijacked. You know, Sam Darnold may know more about computer science than I've known about, because maybe he's cracked the code. Maybe he's broken the algorithm. But I don't know. Frank, you and I have been following football and breaking down football for a long time. And I don't know how that's possible. No. I saw
he was – wasn't
my
bad.
Eyes, the
like,
stats, whatever you want to go by. I don't know what he did. What he averaged, 4.6 per attempt or 5.4, some crummy number. They didn't score any points. They lost the game. They did win. They did beat a bad Atlanta team that we'll get to in a second. But I don't know how that's possible. But
I don't either.
It's out there. If anybody has a solution, I love the PFF guy. So I'm not. This is not meant to be a slam at PFF. I think sometimes there's going to be what you see. And what you intuitively know to be factual on the field, I mean, that has to have some value too. We can't just take numbers and say, okay, we're not going to question this or try to figure out the genesis of it. I teased earlier the Saints. What a great job beating a good Tampa Bay team, especially with Trevor Siemian. Brady just doesn't seem to play well against Tampa Bay. He's played them against New Orleans. He's played them 4 times, beat them in the playoffs, but only threw for $199 in that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sean Payton's good. But now good. Sean Payton has to spot 6 to Atlanta. And I realized the Falcons looked terrible last week. And just when I thought they had Pitts going, Pitts had a step back. Calvin Ridley's out indefinitely. And we hope he gets better with whatever he's dealing with. We certainly are mindful of what he's going through. But the Saints, kind of like the that I talked about with the Steelers, right? Where I love them as a junkyard and underdog, but then when they're asked to give a big number, I don't know what Taysom Hill will get, assuming he'll start. I get to lean Atlanta here. It's not with a lot of conviction, and it's not going to be fun if you watch the game and Matt Ryan's shaking his head and they're down 23-0 at halftime, which is probably in the range of outcomes. But I don't think I like the Saints enough to spot six to a team that I don't think is terrible.
And I'll be honest, Saints, and here's my reasons why. And I don't want to – I hate boiling stuff down like Calvin Ridley's mental health into like how we handicap a football game. But the Falcons offense without him is you talk about narrow passing trees. Like there's no branches left on that tree. It's just the Kyle Pitts branch, and that's it. And I think the Saints, Dennis Allen, their defensive coordinator, and Sean Payton are smart enough to say, these guys have one target, basically, and he's a rookie tight end. We can take him out of the game, make sure Cordarrelle doesn't kill us, and we can shut down this offense. And I think the Saints are going to have that boost we talked about, new quarterback. And even though it's an old quarterback, it's Taysom Hill, I think that, you know, he's going to be fine. I really do. I think that Sean is going to – everybody's talking about, oh, they should sign Cam Newton, and now Phillip Rivers is even talking about if they called, I'd listen. No, go with Taysom. Taysom, I don't love Taysom as a full-time quarterback. I really don't. But he does things that really make life tough on a defense. He'll be very mobile. He can throw the ball. He had four starts last year when Breeze was hurt, and he played pretty well. I think that they're going to rally around Taysom. I think they're going to play really well this week. I don't think the Falcons are going to have any answers on offense without Calvin Ridley. This isn't the Dolphins' defense. It's just kind of, you know, the Falcons took advantage of a couple weeks ago. This is just a much better defense that without Calvin Ridley, this offense is going to struggle. I'll take the Saints. This is a prime teaser opportunity for me. I'll probably have -6.2. I just think they're a far better team, and the Falcons are going to struggle to score a ball.
I will admit, even though I did give out a very lukewarm lean on Atlanta, I have to see if I have New Orleans available in elimination pools because I may need them this week. I don't have a lot of the big favorites. You know, Buffalo's not available to me. We'll get to that game in a little bit. So I may need to rely on Sean Payton and Taysom Hill. And I agree with you. You know, Hill has acquitted himself. 2 or 3 years ago, I made all the jokes about how Sean Payton was going to, you know, was going to, you know, lose on Taysom Hill. He was going to die on Taysom Hill. And Taysom Hill was a better player than I wanted to admit that he could be.
Agreed.
You know, you have to concede that. So the next game on the slate is the Raiders at Giants. And there's no easy way to discuss this, but Henry Ruggs was involved in a serious car crash Tuesday morning. There was a fatality. And the Vegas police is confirming that Ruggs will be charged with felony DUI resulting in death, which carries anywhere from a 2 to 20 year prison sentence. Awful story. Just you hate to see something like this, the loss of life. We're still getting more information on it, so I don't want to say too much about it, but we have to note that before we get into the game. There's no easy way to segue about it. The Raiders are a 3-point favorite at the Giants, and the total is 47.5. What do you make of this one?
I mean, yeah, everything you just said about the story itself, it's just sad beyond belief by so many levels. Just terrible, awful. You just feel sick to your stomach when you hear about it. And it's awful. It's an awful, awful story. One of the worst we've heard of in a long time. But we're here to talk about a football game. And look, I thought the Raiders were in a prime spot here. I thought -3. I think this is a team that really believes it can win the AFC West. I think they've kind of rallied around each other post Gruden. I think that they remember the collapses of the last couple of years, and they're going to come out and play well. But honestly, like, and just like the last game, I hate boiling these real life stories down to what does it mean for the betting line? But we have no idea how the Raiders are going to react to this. It's not one of those stories you kind of like rally around. You're like, oh my God, like this guy did something horrible. Like he's screwed up his whole life and he killed somebody. Maybe it will be illegal. We'll see what happens legally there. But I don't know how the Raiders respond to that. I don't know how that you could be like excited to go play a football game when that just happened regarding your teammate. I don't love the Giants by any means. I'm just going to be laying off this game. Maybe just because I feel kind of dirty even betting on a football game and trying to find an angle with this Henry Ruggs story.
Yeah. I don't have a lean on it either. It's hard for me to imagine the Raiders having focus for a week like this after something so terrible happens. You know, somebody loses their life and somebody's life is radically changed. It's just everybody loses in a situation like that. And I just hope, you know, the best form of justice comes out and we get all the facts and everything, but it's just, nobody likes talking about it. Nobody likes seeing it. It's just an awful story. Let's move on. Buffalo. They weren't great against Miami, but they got the job done. They did get the ticket, although Miami teased with a cover for a while, but Now they go to play Jacksonville, which is a team, if Jacksonville took the rest of the season off, I don't think anybody would miss them. The line, I think you might have alluded to this in your first look at the lines. Buffalo opened as a 14-point favorite. It's 14.5 right now. And even that seemed a little bit low as a road team, because Jacksonville is just so terrible. And Buffalo right now is probably the best team in the AFC. I hate games with big spreads. I very rarely do I do much with them. But what was your lean on Buffalo, Jacksonville?
Again, like the Jaguars are getting this weird respect. I thought last week's line, when they were plus 3.5 against the Seahawks, that was almost one of those games where I was like, what am I missing? Why is this awful Jaguars team only plus 3? And like, well, they should be plus 8, plus 9. I know Geno's no good, but the Jaguars aren't either. I'm not going to bet on this game. I'll be picking the Bills in our pick-ems with what we're picking against the spread, just because I have no faith in the Jaguars. And this Bills team, the problem I have with the Bills is they do seem like a turn it on, turn it off team at times, where they're just not playing at their top gear all the time. They certainly didn't last week. I mean, it was 3-3 at the half, and you're like, what's going on with the Bills? And then they just kind of, okay, let's roll the balls out in the second half and get a win. I could see the same thing happening this week, but there's no way I'm going to be on the Jaguars here, because I have no faith in them covering a number, even when this big.
Yeah, I hate spotting big numbers, but I might have to do it with Buffalo. Not a game I would put any real money on, for sure. The best for last, the 1-7 Texans, the 1-7 Dolphins. And man, how much would the Patriots love to have that Dolphins game back if Harris doesn't fumble around the 10-yard line? Miami is actually spotting 6.5 at home in this game. The total is 46. I will give you a prop. We gave you Jonathan Taylor last week. You had to bet it early. So when the window's open, Frank, ping me about Myles Gaskin. Okay, he's gotten a lot, 34 touches the last 2 weeks. Houston can't stop a nosebleed. Brown's out of the mix for Miami, which just tidies things up a little bit. And I think they just look at Ahmed as a backup. Gaskin's getting usage. I think you'll probably get a good number on him to open. I'm going to look. I don't know if it'll be a total yards prop or a rushing prop, but I'm going to do something with Myles Gaskin. Don't know that I like the game so much, but I'll give you the Gaskin prop as my lean here.
I like that too. And I just think this Texans team is as bad as I thought they were going to be in the preseason. I mean, that win over the Jaguars, my goodness, the Jaguars. The Jaguars were so unprepared in week one. This is a Texans team that's just going to – they're probably going to lose out unless they beat the Jaguars again. Like, and I get Tyrod Taylor's probably back this week. He makes them more competitive. I'm not going to put any of my hard-earned money on the Miami Dolphins. Trust me on that one. But I think that they're the right side here, just because the Texans are one of the worst NFL teams you're going to find. They don't do anything well. They seem to lose a lot of their fight when Mark Ingram got traded, even though the players in the locker room should understand what's going on there. I'll pick the Dolphins in our pools, but trust me, you don't have to bet on every game, people. You don't. I swear to you, you could pass on some of these ones. Pass on this one, because even if you have your money on it, you will not want to be watching this one.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have the nerve to take Miami as an elimination pool pick?
Oh, no, I can't. I can't trust them. I just can't. I just think
people that, we're deep enough in the season that people, a lot of the teams you want are not available. And there's a lot of games where the spread is close to even, where, you're not going to take, I don't know. There's a lot of games you're just not going to touch. I think Cincinnati's probably the right side. You talked me into it, but I'm not going to take them for elimination against Cleveland. So I don't know. Miami's a team I have to I have to have a Miami discussion with myself for elimination purposes. They're 1-7, Frank. They're 1-7.
Scott, how bad would you feel about yourself if you get the week 9 on a survivor pool and then you're like, oh boy, how did you get knocked out, Scott? Oh, I took the 1-7 Dolphins.
But that's friendliest loss, though. I can't.
I get
make my
angle.
Decision based on what it. Makes me feel the worst if I don't get what I want. I understand what you're saying, right? It's like, oh, congratulations, you get knocked out by the 1-8 Dolphins. Way to go! That would be something. In fact, you know what? That may be a badge of honor. Maybe I have to take my
name. Yeah, maybe. Let me know if you do, because I am. Boy, I'll
hate myself on Sunday. I'm sure you'll be getting a lot of texts from me at like 2:30. Like, why didn't you talk me out of the Dolphins? Yeah, I'll blame you. Okay, well. We don't have conviction on that game, but now this is our area where we do give you conviction picks. Now that we've talked them through, give me a pick or two that you're going to be on Sunday.
Absolutely the Chargers. I think that's one that's really calling out to me. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And maybe they're just as mediocre as the Eagles, but I want to believe in this Chargers team. I think the Vikings are getting too many points. I think the Bengals are a good play. I really like the Packers, and I'll be on the 49ers too. They're not as heavy as those other, not as strong as those other four. But the Titans too are in that mix. There's a lot of games I like on this slate, and I think those four I mentioned first of all, and then The 49ers and Titans, too, are going to be on my card.
Yeah, the Chargers, I still hold out hope that the Chargers can do something with their season. I just don't think Philadelphia's going anywhere. And maybe this will be a fork in the road game where it's like we look at it like, okay, this is where we knew that the Chargers were still a team not to give up on, where the Eagles aren't going anywhere. I still think Staley's a good coach. I certainly think Herbert is everything we thought he was. It's just, you're going to have some bad games. So they're one of my stronger leans. And although it didn't start off this way in the discussion, I think I could only be on Cincinnati. There are some sides. It's not that I'm going to pound the Packers as a bet, but I could not bet Kansas City right now. It's not that I'm going to pound the Bears, but I could never bet Pittsburgh, giving that number at home. So a lot of the underdog, the Titans, I have to take the Titans over the Rams. Just that's betting a number, right? It's not always betting the team. It's betting the number.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of numbers this week. I even felt that way. I know it's no fun to bet against Belichick, but I kind of thought that Carolina was a number that I had to take too. But the Chargers, I think the Chargers are the one game that you and I certainly are very much simpatico on for week 90. Agree, disagree, share your thoughts with us on social. You're welcome to follow Frank at Yahoo Schwab. Welcome to follow me at Scott_Pianowski. The Yahoo Fantasy handle will get you all the fantasy football advice and stuff that you need. And if you're into betting podcasts, be sure to follow and subscribe to the Yahoo Sportsbook Daily on your podcast platform of choice. You'll get a lot of Frank Schwab, hardest working man in handicapping that I know of anyway. You get a lot of Frank Schwab on the Yahoo Sportsbook Daily along with the rest of the crew. We've made some really great hires, by the way, over at Yahoo Sportsbook. So we get all sorts of people giving great advice, a lot of fresh takes and a lot of different styles. And I'm sure there'll be somebody that clicks with you. I mean, Frank Schwab's my guy, but there's a lot of other people doing great work over there. So I hope you check them out. It's really quality programming. As for this show, Matt Dalton, they'll be back tomorrow. They'll be doing their Stat Nerd Thursday thing, and they'll give you a preview of the Jets Colts. Man, do we need that. Mike White. Until then, straight cash, homie. Go cash some tickets. Go bet a little Miles Gaskin. We are out.